The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider, as well as Lead Lakers Content Creator for Offside, and joined it's so depressing, right? Like, this sucks, right? Like, it's so surreal to have a season just fall completely apart like this. And I guess we're going to talk a little bit about it, right? The Lakers get their butts kicked, as you would expect, by the Oklahoma City Thunder. Found out earlier today that LeBron James was not going to be available for this one. And then Jackson Hayes was also a late scratch in this one. And you know what? Like, kudos to the Lakers for competing early. I thought Luke Kennard showed some stuff on the ball that did not think he had. So that was kind of fun for a little bit. I thought Adu Thero showed some stuff that should have people excited for next season and beyond. I thought that J.J. Redick actually showed some stuff in this game that has me pretty excited about him as a coach moving forward as well. So we'll talk a little bit about this game, but look, nobody honestly cares like about this game. The Lakers didn't lose by 50. So I guess you can take that home with you. But I think what most people are kind of thinking about and have been thinking about is the implications of this last week or so on the Lakers organization here moving forward. So that's probably going to be most of the focus for this episode. It also was a bit of an opportunity for a Q&A, a back and forth here with the audience. So we'll do some of that as well. But yeah, this was a game that the Lakers competed in early, but it was also a game that the Oklahoma City Thunder used as yet another opportunity to remind Lakers fans and the NBA world as a whole, yep, that's right, we are a freaking machine in the regular season. Today's show also, by the way, as always, brought to you guys by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $50 worth of lineups when you play a $5 lineup in the first place. A little bit more on them in a bit, as I played a lineup earlier today, and we'll analyze that lineup and try to, you know, make some tweaks here for the approach moving forward. But yeah, let's go ahead and dive on in. Starting with the outcome of a game that was pretty easy to predict. So the final score, I honestly don't even have the box score pulled up because it's just not really worth any of our time. But the final score here was 123-87. And you know what? It's one of those rare ass kickings that you just like walk away from and you're like, you know what? It was close for a little bit. The Thunder, they are the class of the league. They are the reigning champs. They have the likely MVP, especially with Victor Wembanyama currently dealing with some physical maladies. This was a Thunder team that beat the brakes out of the Lakers earlier this year and then beat the brakes off the Lakers again more recently and then did so again tonight when the Lakers did not have Luka, LeBron, or Austin. But still, you know, first quarter ended. The Lakers were only down by 7. And then the second quarter happened, and you kind of started to see the dam break a little bit. But I thought, for the most part, the Lakers competed pretty well in the first. OKC kind of, you know, stabilized themselves and realized, oh, damn, these guys play a lot harder than the normal Lakers. And kind of ratcheted up the energy levels to match up with what the Lakers were doing. And once the better team started playing just as hard, if not harder, than the Lakers as a whole, that team started, you know, really kind of pulling away. Overall for the Lakers here, statistically, not a whole much to write. Not much to write home about. Yeah, you had Rui go for 15 points. He shot 7 of 10 from the field. You had DeAndre Ayton, I thought, kind of showed out in the wrong ways. He only scored 3 points in this game and was a game worst, tied for game worst, minus 26. Kind of interesting lineup for the Lakers to start here, as J.J. Redick went with Ayton and Drew Timmy to start, as well as Rui Hachimura and Jake LaRavia and Luke Kennard. So basically, it was like this kind of big, long, but also kind of plodding lineup that worked well at first, but then the Thunder were like, no, hold on, this is how we do this. And they kind of figured it out. Also, you know, coming off of the bench, you had Adu Thiro, who I thought looked really good. He went for 10 points, 4 rebounds, couple assists, as well as the steal. Went 2 of 4 from the field, 5 of 10 from the free throw line. Free throws were a disaster for the Lakers in this one. Wouldn't have mattered. They went 14 of 31, though, from the free throw line. And had they made every single one of those, they would have lost by, I don't know, 20 or so. But yeah, it was there's just not much to analyze in this game, right? Like, and I know this probably isn't really for my benefit on this channel here moving forward, but there's just not much to really analyze moving forward until this season mercifully ends, right? Like, it's just, and it's such a bummer for the season to end this way, because we've all experienced, especially recently, we've all experienced these Lakers seasons that, you know, you just hope to get to the end. It's just like, come on, let's just get this over with so we can get to the offseason. And it really sucks that this is how this season is going as well. And that's how we want this season to end as well. But it doesn't. It's simply because of injuries is why we feel that way, right? And recent injuries. Also, injuries that are going to be cleared up as soon as the season ends. Like, that's the bummer here, is that the Lakers are going to go into their first round series matchup. They're probably not going to win that first series. And then the season's going to end. And then Luke is going to be available. And then Austin is going to be available. And then we'll see what happens with the offseason from there. But this was a season that was like looking up. And then here we are, you know, where I'm sitting here patting the Lakers on the back for trying in the first quarter. And yeah, I don't know. It's really difficult to talk about this team right now without being just super bummed because of, like, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Lakers were going to win the championship this year, or even that they would win the Western Conference. But to go from, This seems kind of interesting too. What the fuck? In the matter of a weekend? Like, this game was such a perfect summary of what this last week has been. Where it's like, huh, well, look at that. Oh, yep, that's right. Being a sports fan sucks.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I don't really have much else on that game. I don't think any of you guys have much else on that game. So what I'm going to do here for, I don't know, I'm not going to be here for very long. I'm tired. That game sucked. The way this season is ending sucks. But what I do want to talk a little bit about before, you know, I bring in Harrison and he and I talk about this tomorrow. But I do want to talk a little bit about the ripple effects from the injuries that the Lakers have sustained recently. And now look, maybe this trip to Spain helps Luka and he's able to recover and he's able to help even a little bit in the first round. And then, you know, maybe gradually feel a little bit better. But, we know where this thing is heading. It's like, I remember watching Game of Thrones. And I was watching it with my wife and the first time around. And I read the books growing up and kind of knew, like, as you approach it, it's like, here comes the Red Wedding. Are they actually going to do it as graphic as it was in the book? What are they going to do here? Like, it was told through somebody else's or somebody's eyes in the book. Are they going to tell it through her eyes in the show? And, like, looking over at Jen, like, is this gonna, you know, like, how traumatized is she gonna be from this? And it's just like, I'm looking at the rest of the season here, and it just feels like I'm watching an extended Red Wedding for these Lakers. And I don't really want to talk about it very much. So, like as far as like this season goes, like, we know what's happening here. But what I do think is worth talking about and will become kind of like the subject for Lakers fans and this show and all that stuff here moving forward is, like, I think we need to first start by talking about where we thought this season was heading before the injuries. What we would have wanted the offseason to look like if the season would have played out like that. And then compare that to, like, how we feel about this situation here moving forward. So let's start by kind of talking about how I thought the season was going to play out if the Lakers just get blown out by Oklahoma City and Austin and Luka are able to play basketball here moving forward. And I thought that the beginning of that game when Austin and Luka were available were pretty telling in that Oklahoma City is just so much more athletic they are so much faster to the basketball. They play with so much more collective energy. I think you look around the league and there's a lot of teams basically that are rolling with 10 plus rotation, you know, numbers. And that allows those teams to play with a lot more collective and consistent energy than the Lakers have played with for most of the year. And I thought that the Lakers, like, it looked like they were heading towards a first round matchup with the Houston Rockets. I think the Lakers would have beaten the Rockets in five games, maybe six, where like there's a dumb outcome in one of the games that kind of stretches the series longer than it needed to be stretched. But the Lakers probably, I think, would have come out of that series on top. And then you're looking ahead to a series against, you know, probably San Antonio. And, you know, maybe the Lakers have enough kind of, you know, headlining wherewithal to be able to compete with the Spurs and extend that thing. But I don't think the Lakers would have won that series against the Spurs. And then, you know, the rest of the playoffs would have rolled on from there. I guess just at the start, if we're talking about like the implications of these injuries, I feel like we kind of have to start by saying, is it that different from how we thought the season would go? Like, we feel very differently about the season right now, right? Because we are actually sitting in this so much earlier. And yes, winning one playoff round after being very unceremoniously booted the last year, like, that would have felt pretty good. But if you lose in round two, like, does it matter that much more than losing in round one if you're a Laker fan of all fan bases? Probably not, right? So, I've kind of thought long and hard about this, and I land at, yeah, it sucks to be sitting in this already, but I also am kind of glad that the Lakers wouldn't have kind of, like, at this point cannot fall for any potential fool's gold. Not saying that these Lakers definitely were fool's gold. Like, I really do believe in the LeBron, Austin, Luka trio moving forward, so long as they are supplemented with a lot more athleticism, a lot higher motors around them, and some better shooters around them than they currently have. Like, I would love to see Luka, Austin, LeBron back again next year. But like, as far as like for this season and the outcomes in this season, I don't really see that huge of a difference. As far as overall outcomes, you know, the vibes as you approach those outcomes is where the major difference is noted. But overall, it was just kind of like, you know what? It is what it is. This sucks. It clearly sucks, but it allows the Lakers to be, I think, a little bit more clear-eyed or clear-minded as we approach this upcoming offseason. Oh, wrong button. Ooh, here we are. All right, give me a quick second here before we dive back into the rest of the show. I wish I had a live producer to help with stuff like this. And then we got one more little thing here. This one. Nope. Yeah. Here we go. Apologies. I'm going to do that a little bit more smoothly here moving forward. But all right. So the next aspect of the kind of ripple effects from this last week has to do with a couple of guys and their individual futures with the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's start with Austin Reeves, who, you know, if you're just looking from a productive, you know, production standpoint, this is probably a no-brainer. This guy is a, you know, you look at his totals on the year, you look at, you know, his continued improvement over the years, even after getting paid more recently. But yeah, you know, the Lakers, just from a, I'm the reason I'm looking off camera here is to pull up the Lakers stats. But, you know, Austin Reeves this season has averaged 23, almost basically will finish the year averaging almost 23 and a half points a game. He will average just under 5 rebounds a game. He'll average 5.5 assists per game, a steal per game, and did so on fairly solid shooting splits. 49% from the field. He shot 36% from 3-point range. That's going to be something that, like, if the Lakers invest in Austin, he'll need to really improve with. Did get to the free throw line 7 times per game and shot 87% from the free throw line there, which tells me that, like, he should be a good shooter. We'll see what, you know, if they're able to get that to translate to 3-point line a little bit better next year. But in terms of just raw production and in terms of how much he is just kind of liked as a piece or a part of the Lakers culture moving forward.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply. The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
It has been stressed to me recently that Austin is in line for max or near max contract numbers moving forward. And that puts him above $40 million a year for the next 5 years or, you know, few years, and then the opportunity to hit the free agent market again before he turns 30, or a couple of years, I guess that would be. Whatever it is, he is in line to get paid really, really well. Here's my thing, and I don't want to mess with the guy's pockets. I don't want to mess with, you know, I'm not going to try to convince anybody, but, you know, to not pay somebody. But the concern coming into the season was the way that he played in the playoffs last year. And throughout this year, the discussion about Austin was, well, whatever he does in the regular season is going to be worth noting. It's going to be worth, you know, tracking and seeing which steps forward he takes over the course of the year. But where he is really going to have to make his money is going to be in the postseason. And with him suffering the injury that he just suffered at the time that he suffered it, it seems possible, if not outright probable or likely even, that Austin Reeves is not going to play in this year's playoffs. Now, if he's able, if he guts it out and he gives it a go, then we'll see what that looks like. And he will be, you know, that'll have to be taken into account in some of these decisions and would be an example of why the Lakers like this guy so much. But I find it really, really difficult to just pencil in the type of numbers that it would cost against the cap, given that he's coming off of a meh playoff run last year and might not play at all in the playoffs this year after missing like a quarter of the season earlier this year. And that's just, it's not the season that, it's not the contract year that Austin needed to have, right? And I'm really kind of curious how much hardball the Lakers play here with Austin, given that he'll have options, right? The Chicago Bulls are going to have like $65 million in terms of cap space there, and it'll be a brand new front office. They just fired Arturs Karnisovas and their GM there as well. It is an organization that will spend if it keeps them at the middle or higher. Austin would very much help that organization in that regard. You have the Atlanta Hawks, who don't quite have enough money or do not have enough money to offer Austin any kind of a contract that would pay better than the Lakers can possibly, offer Austin. But they also are a fascinating fit, maybe even a better fit for Austin than with the Lakers. And so, like, if you're Austin's camp, all that matters here is that you're able to convince the Lakers, hey, we have options, you'd better pay up. And it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. For the Lakers also, like, you're going to be making this decision, and you're going to be making that decision with basically no clarity on whether Luka and Austin can work in a playoff setting, which terrifies me, honestly. So as far as ripple effects go here, I don't think there is a very tangible ripple effect. From what I hear, the Lakers are prepared to make Austin whatever offer they have to keep him in LA. And you know what? Like, a big part of me is really happy that that would remain the case, because I do believe in Luka and Austin here moving forward, depending on the moves that the Lakers make beyond keeping him. So on that note, let's talk about some of the decisions that the Lakers have to make beyond this difficult Austin choice. The next guy on the docket is LeBron. And one of the things that I have found super interesting over the course of the last month or two is this weird acceptance that LeBron is gone for some reason. And whenever I ask people, like, wait, what are his better options out there? They'll always say, like, I don't know. And like, to me, I also think that the Lakers assume too much when it comes to how easily they can move on from LeBron James. LeBron, like, accepting the role that he did over the course of March, where he was playing off of the ball more, he was focusing more on defense, he was focusing more on rebounding, he was still getting out and running in transition, and that opened up everything for Luka and for Austin, and the Lakers looked great. Like, if I'm the Lakers, I'm asking myself seriously, where else am I going to get a player as talented as LeBron is, even at this stage of his career, who can do all of those things? Now, they might be asking themselves, yeah, all right, we could, it's going to be really difficult to find that guy doing all of those things who is also that talented, who can also do the things on the ball that LeBron can do on the ball, either for himself or his teammates. Like, they might be asking all of that stuff, but they also might not necessarily want to hitch their wagons to a then 42-year-old LeBron James, who might is at some point eventually, we think, maybe going to break down. We just saw Luka break down. We just saw Austin Reeves break down. And we saw those guys break down after playing as hard as they're clearly going to need to play moving forward. So, like, if you're the Lakers, do you want to use basically 65% of your cap on Luka, Austin, and LeBron, three guys who spent at least a third of this season unhealthy or not available, or are finishing the season not available? I can understand why the Lakers as a front office would be like, no, that floor is just way too low. And I can't wait to see what decision they make there. What I will say, though, is as far as ceilings go, if they can manage the season and have these guys available and ready for the postseason, if you supplement them with better collective talent than the Lakers had for big chunks of this season, and they are somehow, some way able to be healthy, I truly believe in that trio and their ceiling. Maybe I'm just being stubborn. Maybe I'm putting too much weight or belief into March basketball, but what we watched from them over this last month was just too damn fun to just be like, well, all right, that happened. Let's move on. And for the Lakers, I'm going to say this directly into the mic. Maybe I'm going to take down the overlay, and I'm going to say this with no additional, you know, fireworks here. Here's me fully zoomed in. Lakers, replace. I know, Lakers, that your relationship with LeBron and with Clutch, and, you know, everything that he has kind of asked you to do over the years, and some of the things that have backfired to the extent that, like, the Russell Westbrook trade backfired, obviously closed the window here. But at the end of the day, do not allow pettiness to guide your hand here.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is Chat Missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
I've realized lately that the products I use every single morning genuinely affect how I feel for the rest of the day. If something feels heavy, greasy, overly makeup-y, or complicated, I just stop reaching for it. That's why I've been loving Primally Pure's new Sun Serum Tinted SPF. It gives mineral SPF 30 protection and enough coverage to make my skin look even and healthy, but it still looks like my skin. It has this really fresh, lived-in glow. And their lip and cheek tint has become one of those products I keep throwing on throughout the day because it makes me look instantly more awake and put together in like 10 seconds. The whole vibe just feels very effortless. Skin first, clean girl beauty. Products that enhance your skin. If you've been wanting your routine to feel lighter, simpler, and more natural this summer, definitely check out Primally Pure's Sun Serum and Lip and Cheek Tints.
Do not just look at this from the headache standpoint, but also take into account the basketball standpoint and everything this guy has done to, at the onset of your tenure, Genie Bus, make you relevant. And then throughout your tenure, Genie Bus, and Rob Pelinka and Rambai, etc., to keep you relevant. And when you take all of that into account, this should be a relatively easy decision, which is sit this guy down at the negotiating table, sit down with his party, and figure out a way to land on some kind of deal that makes sense for both sides. But if you sit here and you penny pinch, and you risk it all for the sake of pettiness, you get what you deserve, whatever you have coming. All right, let's do this and that and this and that and this and that and this one. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into some of your guys' comments. And let's see. All right, we have a couple of super comments here, which means we get to play the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! I had somebody say to me, because I don't particularly like the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, I thought they tanked for too long and it became kind of unethical. And I think their fans are annoying. Or a lot of their fans are annoying. I don't like the people who have covered that team over the years. And I think eventually they became just kind of fanboys as well. And like, it's just kind of, I don't love them. But then somebody pointed out, it was like, well, the thing is, the Thunder might be the best chance for the, you know, the defense of the Celtics winning a championship. And it's like, oh, that's so true and it sucks. So, and then like the other opportunity here is like, or the other team that could stop the Celtics from winning a championship is the San Antonio Spurs, another group that I just like grew up hating because of those matchups against Tim Duncan, against Manu Ginobili, and against that entire organization. So it's like, in Oklahoma City squad and a fan base that I am pretty tired of, San Antonio Spurs team and organization and fan base that I just hate, or the fucking Celtics, like, I'd rather not. Like, I'd rather not. You know what? You guys are right. Like, let's put ourselves in a better mood. Let's watch Kirby. Feel better? I feel a little bit better. I feel a little worse in that, like, Kirby and I have the same, like, jugular chin setup. But, like, if you just, like, scribbled some stuff around Kirby's face, that's, like, kind of how I feel like my face feels. All right. Let's dive on into your guys' questions and comments and start with Let's Run UNLV, who writes, if you didn't believe in Luka AR pairing at all, what are your next two trade windows? Don't want to go into another season needing to trade tired. All right. This is where it gets interesting because I think the Lakers are kind of stuck here. They basically have to pay Austin. There are enough teams out there that can pay him, you know, well, and well enough to leave. And as iffy as I would be paying Austin max money, the Lakers also absolutely cannot lose this dude for nothing. So I think no matter what, basically next year, the Lakers go into it with Austin and Luka on the team at the same time. However, I will say that how the team looks next year with Austin at that number is going to be very important to track. And the guy that I have kind of penciled as worth keeping an eye on is probably Scotty Barnes. And I say this because the Toronto Raptors, like, they are in that purgatory where they clearly aren't good enough to even sniff a championship. They have a core that will get expensive and, again, not sniff a championship. But it will also keep them from bottoming out in a way that gives them the opportunity to bring in the kind of superstar who would highlight that core and turn them into something more than they actually are, kind of like how Kawhi did, you know, those few years ago. And if I am the Toronto Raptors, obviously they fired Masai Ujiri more recently, a guy who said that he wants to be in the NBA again and win another, have another opportunity to win another championship and stuff. But still, like, they are, it's a team that is devoid an elite offensive engine. They've tried to do that with Barnes this year, but we've seen what the ceiling is on him in that role. And it's like, the problem is that his ceiling is pretty low, but his floor is also pretty high. And the Raptors are just going to be kind of stuck in the middle there. So what I do kind of wonder if they do, or what they could do, is, you know, what would it take to acquire Scotty Barnes for the Lakers as the Raptors maybe eventually fully embrace a complete bottom out rebound. Maybe that happens next year. Maybe that happens in the next couple of years or something like that. Or maybe Toronto gets lucky enough to bring in a star who moves Scotty down to like rung number two and the Raptors make a whole lot more sense. But as it stands right now, I don't think Barnes is anywhere near good enough to be a team's number one if they want to win a championship. But I could 1,000,000% see him going to a team as like the next Aaron Gordon and becoming one of the best role players in the league. And if the Lakers could somehow, some way line up all of their assets to be that team that Scotty Barnes goes to, then perfect. Absolutely perfect. Now, as far as like the AR Luka pairing, they make a whole bunch of sense if Scotty Barnes is there. But they had to play so hard to get the collective athleticism to a workable height that I am sincerely concerned about that approach's sustainability. Maybe Luka gets in even better shape over the summer. Maybe Austin, you know, continues to fill out and continues to improve, and that is less of a concern here moving forward. But if the Luka and AR pairing is going to work, they have to be surrounded by some absolutely astounding athleticism. Like what we see from Adu Thiro whenever he steps onto the court, they need like two of those guys, like two guys at their position with that level of athleticism. And, you know, with DeAndre Ayton on the roster and on the books for next season, with LeBron at this stage of his career, with Jake LaRavia being somehow, some way the next best option on the wing, or with Marcus Smart at this stage of his career. Like, none of those guys are at the level athletically of where the Lakers need Luka and Austin's teammates to be. And we'll see to what extent the Lakers are actually able to bring in those that, like, teammates at the level that they need to be. All right. Justin Tindall writes, the league is an embarrassment under Silver. Jazz led Pelicans by 8 at halftime and decided to give 95 second half points, which felt like tanking 101. Adam, look, the reality is, in this NBA ecosystem, not a single person in the league is at all scared of Adam Silver. And now we will see what comes of the aspiration situation. But it was so telling that Adam Silver was like giving these, you know, angry, frustrated press conferences where he's saying how much he hates tanking. And he's fixing it. He's ending it right now. On his watch, like, it will not continue on his watch. I got this. Bring it on, tanking. I'm ending you. And then all of his proposals were like, well, technically, if Article 5 of Section A, 33, Clause B, indicates that if a team is found to be not trying to, it's like, no, man, what are we doing here? Grow a fucking spine, Adam Silver. There is so much evidence to the Clippers cheating that this should have been figured out before All-Star Weekend. Did you do it? No. And this, by the way, the Clippers was an organization that legitimately, I heard, pissed off Adam Silver for exiling Chris Paul as he headed towards an All-Star Weekend that would have honored his career. Chris Paul is like a very close friend of Adam Silver because of his role in the players union and in league leadership all these times. And Adam Silver was so angry at the Clippers for exiling Chris Paul while they're being investigated for cap circumvention that he did all of fuck all. He didn't do anything to the Clippers for that. He's like, oh man, I'm ending tanking. Here we go. Ready? Are you ready? Next time. Next time for sure. I'm ending it. And it's like, what are you doing here, man? Get out of here. Get your litigious ass out of here. You don't have the spine for this. You don't have the stomach for this. No tienes los cabones. You don't have the cojones. Wait, like, what are you here for? Because it isn't the health of the league from a viewing standpoint. Fans are watching on a nightly basis a significantly worse product as a result of your leadership. Yes, your league is making money. You've had to bend over backwards to gambling partnerships. You've had to bend over backwards to crypto, to Saudi Arabia, to all of these partnerships that you would probably prefer not to. And yet, here you stand. And even while you do this, you can't get your stars to play in 35% of their nationally televised games. You're fining teams for not having stars available for these nationally televised games, and it hasn't done anything. And you aren't going to do anything about it. So, yeah, like, you find the Jazz for throwing games and then turn around and watch them do the nth degree of that in this game. They don't care about you. They don't fear you. Nobody fears you. I don't fear you. I remember growing up, the way that, like, people who covered the league, like, full disclosure, I have some friends, some mentors who covered the league or who worked in PR for the league or PR for teams over the years. When David Stern was running things, there was like a, if you say certain things about David Stern, he would find you and you would be chewed out and hear about it. And thus nobody said, like, nobody crossed X, Y, or Z boundaries with David Stern. With Adam Silver, nobody fears him. Nobody cares. Not a single person in the league is like, man, if we do this, what's Adam going to do? And then they laugh. Like, if they do say that, they laugh. And it's like the league, the NBA, cannot withstand any more time with Adam Silver at the helm. All right. I think that is, Kristen Lee asking thoughts on Vando, on the Vando thing tonight. Luca has two kinds of work husbands: on court BFF, Kyrie, DFS, Austin. The other kind is a guy that is disrespected by the coach, Dennis Smith Jr., Dwight Powell, and Chris Stapps Porzingis. Explain. All right. So the Vando thing, there has been like that. Whole relation, like working relationship, has been an issue all year. I think Vando has been very professional about it. He has tried to step in and help whenever he can. I think that JJ Redick has a very short fuse on Vando, and tonight, I don't think Vando was alone in this. I thought a lot of like those mid-tier veterans, Rui, Ayton, Vando, I thought those guys got into the game and didn't have the focus that they needed to have. And look, I think these are the kind of moments that the Lakers are going to remember heading into the offseason. But with Vando, with JJ, that relationship I don't think is in the best place, has been in the place, in the best place all year. And both from like a basketball standpoint, like I just don't think Vando really aligns with what JJ values as a head coach. And then on top of that, like Vando gets in there and isn't very disciplined, isn't very attentive to what the Lakers are looking to do offensively and especially defensively. And I just don't think JJ has very much time for the combination of the lack of skill for Vando, as well as the lack of discipline. It's just not very good. And I think, you know, tension's kind of boiled over there. Now, as far as like the on-court BFF, I think Maxi Kleber getting the number of opportunities that he has over the course of the season has everything to do with Luka. They've tried to make that work and it hasn't worked, so that's kind of the downside of it. But you also look at the chemistry that Luka has with Austin and the on-court growth between those two guys, and I think it can also be positive and productive. So the Vando thing, like I think he doesn't get along particularly well with JJ and the coaching staff, but I do think he is one of the more popular NBA players like out there. The fact that Anthony Edwards is still saying like, man, I really wish I had a Vando on this team, doesn't exactly surprise me. Players love this dude, but the coaching staff, I think, has, you know, grown kind of weary of Vando's lack of attentiveness, discipline, as well as the way that he hurts the offense whenever he's out there. Oop, wrong button. Here we go. All right. Now I'm going to get out of here. I said it was going to be a shorter show, and here we stand 53 minutes later on a night that the Lakers barely avoided losing by 53 minutes. So, yeah, that's going to do it here. Apologies for not doing a show yesterday. So what happened there was I had made some ramen because I was put in charge of dinner for myself, and I made it with carne asada that I had thought was cooked on Saturday. It turns out we had made carne asada like a cup. Basically, it's one of my favorite things to cook when we host people. For whatever reason, there was like two bags of carne in the fridge, and they're both roughly the same size. And without even thinking, I chopped it up, threw some carne into the ramen yesterday, ate that ramen, and felt terrible. Don't need to go into detail there, but was not able to record an episode yesterday and finally recovered today. So feeling better now, won't make that mistake again. But on that note, that pretty much sums up how Lakers fans have been feeling recently, eating some bad carne asada. Have a great rest of your nights, everybody. Make some dances, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.